As a bow. So, as we know, there are 10 makos spread out over Parshas Beira and Parshas Bo. And we have an easy simon, Bo Begematria, 3, Beis and Aleph. So once we know that, even if we forget how many were in Beira, we just have to subtract 10 minus 3 and we know automatically. And we see that in this makas, it was very interesting. There was a combination of Paro being mechazik, hardening his own heart, plus Hashem. As we see in the last pasuk in Parashas Vayera, Vayechazak lev Paro, that Paro on his own hardened his heart again. And in this week's parasha, the first pasuk says, Ki ani hechbati eslibo, that Hashem is hardening. So we can say that it's true, of course, that Paro himself hardened his heart, but then he started to have second doubts, starting to give in. Maybe he should finally say, go already, and therefore Hashem in this market had to come in also, so to speak, to reinforce that hardening. And we see in Pasuk Hey that it uses several expressions of what the Arbeir will do here. It says it will consume Yeser HaPleita HaNisheves Lachem. It would seem that one expression would be enough. Whatever is left over from the Barad will be now taken care of. Why does it have to use three separate Lashonos? I would say that we can say, as with the Gemara in Gittin, that Darshan's Mi Chamocha Bailim Hashem, who is like you among the mute of Hashem, from Aleph Lamed Mem, the Shoresh, can also be without the Nekudos, without the vowels, Ilein, from the expression mute. Who among you are among the mute? Hashem, which is the greatness of Hashem also, his Gevura, that he's so long suffering, even though the evil that goes around is so overwhelming, so to speak, to us, and yet Hashem is so long suffering and doesn't destroy them right away. And that's what the pasuk is telling us here. Baruch Alas Yeser HaPalei Tanish Eslachem. Yeser coming from extra. You should know, Paro and Mitzrayim, that whatever is remaining here is just extra. It is not just so happens that it's not destroyed. Even that should have been destroyed. You should have all been destroyed for your evil already. But it's only the Erech HaPayim, the long suffering way that Hashem is, that there is any pleita, there is any escaping from here. There was an escaping, but this escaping is only yeser, just extra. It shouldn't even, so to speak, really even be here anymore. And the nisheres is a positive form, like she'eres ha-pleita, she'eres Yisrael, that is giving him the Musar also. This is, take this to heart and become whatever there is now, we remainder, to stay that way in a positive sense, to do the tshuva, that you should remain and not have to be destroyed. In Pasuk Tes, Moshe Rabbeinu answers Paro when he asks him, who should leave Mitzrayim to serve Hashem? And Moshe Rabbeinu answers that all of them, not just the men, as Paro will rebut him, so to speak, after this, but all of us are supposed to go to Har Sinai to serve Hashem. And the Rosh Hashiva in Koldodi points out beautifully that look at the lashon, the expression that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Paro. It says Ki Chag Hashem Lanu. It doesn't say Ki Chag Abnei Yisrael Lashem, but it's Ki Chag Hashem Lanu. This is, so to speak, Hashem's party, the most beautiful party on earth, the giving of the Torah, to serve Him always. This is, He's the host. And being the host, He wants all His people, not just the Bar Chiyuvim, so to speak, that we have in other mitzvahs, for instance, where you can say, okay, only the men are supposed to go or do it. But this is for all the people. All of them have to be together here. It's Hashem's party, and He wants all His children there. And of course, Paro tells him he doesn't go for this. He doesn't trust Moshe Rabbeinu. He thinks they're lying, Moshe and Aaron, to him. That he knows, as far as any Abdei, Avodah Zarah, or whatever, it's the men that is needed, that are needed. The women, children, they have other jobs to do. And therefore, he doesn't go for it. And he tells them in Pasuk Yud, Yehi chein Hashem imochem kasher ashalach eschem vestapchem. So shall Hashem be with you when I'll send you and your children. Re'u, see, ki ra'ah neged pneichem. There is evil before you. It seems almost a contradiction. It seems first he's giving him a bracha, seischem l'shalom, and then he tells him, re'u, ki ra'ah neged pneichem. But it would seem to me we only have to change one thing in the pshat of the pasuk, like you have many times in Tanakh. Rashi says, Bitmiya, with a wonder, question. And that makes the pasuk beautiful. Just put the question mark instead of a period or comma after Tapchem. And that's what he's saying. Will Hashem will be with you when I'll send you and your children and your wives that you want? As I explained before, Re'u, see, that if that's done, ki ra'ah neged pneichem, not good. And that's why, as Rosh Hashiva points out, we see in Pasuk Tezayin, when Paro, after the plague comes, apologizes, and here, like in the last time, he said, he sinned to Hashem, but over here he says, V'lachem, and to you, to Moshe and Aaron also, because he accused them of being liars. And after he saw that Hashem was in agreement by bringing about this plague, he saw they were telling the truth. And therefore he apologizes to them also. But as we know, he still kept his evil ways, and he refused to let him go. And the makkah of choshech, darkness, comes. And some of the things we see with the makkah of choshech is the fact, of course, it says in the pasuk, 3 days of complete darkness, no one being able to see and anyone else. And then it was such a, so to speak, physical darkness, they couldn't even move the next 3 days. We can ask, as far as not being able to see each other, what about lights? They didn't have lights? Light something up, being able to see? So of course we have to say that if they tried, we just fizz out, so to speak. That's one shot we can give. One thing for sure, whatever they tried didn't work. Hashem makes plagues of darkness. There was no way to get the light. Another point, the Ramban has some klolim for the plagues. As we know, each plague was mida keneged mida, as the Medrash says, and goes into detail. And one of the rules that Ramban brings is that any plague that had mis in it, death, there was a warning preceding it, and Paro would come crying like a baby afterwards to please stop. By Choshech, the question would be, doesn't seem to fit in, since there was no Misa involved. So we can understand very well why there was no warning. But why is Paro running like a baby to stop the plague? And I would say that really there was the biggest kind of, so to speak, Misa. There can be a worse death than a physical death, a mental death, torture. As we know from history, what goes on, for instance, by spies, intelligence agencies, to break down a person, the mental aspects are tremendous. Can even be worse than the physical. And that's what happened here. In the Makab Choshech, can you imagine all your darkest fears, your biggest nightmares are being thought of when you don't know what's going to happen next, especially what they experience in the former plagues. So the person themselves makes the worst plague by their imagination. As we know, it's so true. Even as kids, or even adults, when it's dark, whatever it might be, the bogeyman, so to speak. Any person's worst fears come into play. And that's what happened here. So therefore we see very well why, as far as a warning, it's still not a physical death, no warning is needed. They didn't get killed in that way. But as far as the death, the torture of the mental anguish, which can even be far worse, as we said, you bet you're going to come running, crying like a baby for it to stop. And in Perek Yud Beis, at the beginning, when they are told about HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim Nisan, Pesach being the first of the Chodeshim, when you count the months, as far as the months are concerned, it comes first, the birth of the nation, the physical birth, going out of Mitzrayim, in order to have that spiritual birth, redemption, in Har Sinai, of the giving of the Torah and Shavuos. One without the other is not enough. That symbolizes it. And it's to tell us, happening in Nisan, and as far as the astrological signs, the ram, which Mitzrayim worshipped, was their symbol, to show that there's no power except Hashem. And also, as the Rosh Hashiva points out in Kol Dodi, the sheep, the sign of wealth, which was also worshipped, and is still worshipped by many. They think money is the answer to all their problems. And yet, it can be, as they say, the root of all evil also. And it is not the answer. It's only with Hashem's Ratzon and doing His will that anything in the universe can be truly good and enduring. And that's the symbolism here. To reject those false gods, money included, whatever form they might be, that it's only Hashem one should put their trust in and faith to do His will completely. And of course it talks about some of the halachas that we know from the Seder, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, and there's a beautiful explanation by Rabbi Elias, just a little addition for myself, that explains the statement of Rabbi Gamliel in the Haggadah, that Kol Shalom Shlosh Dvarim Halalu Lo Yatzer Deichlosa. If you do not say the three things of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, you are not fulfilling your obligation at all. What is it with these three items that make it so important, to the exclusion of anything else, that you are not yotze, even with the Eved, your obligation? And he explains that Pesach is a symbol of redemption. Our Hashem redeemed us, passed over us, did not destroy us as he did the Mitzrayim. Whereas Maror is the opposite. Bitterness of slavery, the bitterness of subjugation to others besides Hashem. And Matzah is the connecting link. Matzah is unleavened bread, whereas Chametz is leavened bread. And the Gemara in Bracha says in Yudayin Amar Aleph that Chametz symbolizes the source of Issa, the leaven in the dough, the gaiva, the rising of the dough. As we know, the classic example of all midas is anivus, humility. All stems from there. When you perfect that, everything good comes in its train. Whereas the opposite, gaiva, is the source of the classic example of the worst midah, where everything bad stems from. And basically that is the Eitz Hara and the Eitz Tov, the symbolism. So when you what? When you give in to the Eitz Hara Chas V'Shalom, then all you have is bitterness, the maror, the slavery, subjugation, hardships, the troubles that come from it. Whereas if you do not leaven, you do not rise with that gaiva to the Eitz Hara, but go to the Eitz Tov, subjugate yourself, like the Mishnah says, Bater Ratzon Chamim Neiratzono, to make sure you just follow Hashem, subjugate your will, have the humility to understand that Hashem's Das is the infinite good, then you will be zoche to merit redemption, the greatest good forever after. May we all be zoche and merit that. Tamid me'atavi ad olam. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel is saying, without this, you're not yotze at all. Because this is the essence of life. The blueprint for the perfect life, or otherwise, God forbid, the other side. It was a long journey, as we know, for the Yidden, till they fulfilled the ideal in Eretz Yisrael with the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. As we see from the Haggadah also, the last Dayenu in Olam Hazeh, that is the ideal, to be in our land with the Beis HaMikdash in all its glory. And as Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out, it's hinted at the Gematria in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, when it says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael mi'Ramses to Kosa. And b'nei Yisrael traveled from Ramses to Sukkos. Ramses is Begmatria 430 years. As the Pasuk later on, in Pasuk Mem Aleph says, 430 years was the Gezerah Birs Bein Absalom. Birs Bein Absalom was 430 years earlier. Through the mercy of Hashem, that from the time it was counted, the Shibud, instead of having Rachman Litzlan 430 years of actual bitter slavery, murder in that way. And from the time that Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash was 480 years. And that's the Gematria of Sukkos, Sukkosa. And as we know, besides Gematria, the Beis HaMikdash is also called Sukkah, Sukkas David HaNofolis. And Amir Tzashem, we should be Zoche to the third Beis HaMikdash that will never be destroyed, the Meher of Yomeinu. Perek Yogimel was some of the Parshiyos of Tefillin, as we understand. And in fact, the Pesukim of Tefillin itself, dealing with Tefillin, are mentioned here. The last Pesuk in the Sedra, for instance, V'hoya la'os al yadachol totofos beininecha, ki b'chozik yad hosyanu Hashem yimitzrayim. And as the Gemara Darshins, as Rashi brings down, that it's written, Yadcha in full, Yud Dalet Chafei, to show you that's what needed is to be put on the weaker hand. Yad Keha. It's a combination of those two words. And we should ask, it seems strange, because in general, as we know, we do the mitzvahs with our right hand. Whichever is stronger, lefty, if that's his, does it with the left. To show the chashivas, the kvod mitzvah. Why is tefillin different? Reb Moshe Zatzal points out in Darash Moshe beautifully, that what the Torah is teaching us here is showing us, as we know, basically, that the Tefillin Shel Rosh is opposite the brain, as we say in the statement before we put on our Tefillin, our Neshama Shebemochi, the Neshama which is my brain, to symbolize the subjugation of one's neshama to Hashem, and the tefillin shel yad on the hand, yad symbolizes the physical doings of things, symbolizing the subjugation of our physical means of doing, of the physical besides the spiritual, ruchnius and gashmius. And therefore, as we know, many times a person performs mitzvahs in a strained fashion, as a burden, a difficulty, as with the left hand, so to speak. And the Torah is telling us that that's not the way. To perform the mitzvahs should be even left-handed, with the weaker hand, with the same facility, simcha, and strength as if we were doing it with the right hand. Even when things get tough, the tough get going. That is the ideal. To make even the weaker parts, which are naturally weaker, into the strongest parts, equal to the strongest parts. Not to be laxed in the least, no matter what confronts us. As Rav Moshe said, it was not a good expression when some would say, "Shver to zayin a yid," it is difficult to be a yid, because what we have to look at it as it is the most beautiful thing to be a yid, no matter what difficulties arise. When we understand and know that we are getting the greatest good and accomplishing the greatest good forever after by doing the will of Hashem, then all the difficulties fall, so to speak, by the wayside. It's as if one would be able to carry a heavy load of diamonds, which would be exhausting, take his last ounce of strength. He wouldn't die, but it would be hard, so to speak, difficult, sweating, taking such a long time, weeks, months, to get to the destination. But we all understand he will have the biggest smile on his face because he's carrying riches that will last him forever. That's the way we have to understand and know the truth, that that's doing the will of Hashem, gaining us the greatest good forever after. Mida k'neged mida, when we do and feel it that way, Hashem will in turn encompass his people with the greatest love and simcha forever after. Kein yehi ratzon. We also have the Kedusha of the Bechor in this parsha, which is also one of the parshiyos of the Tefillin, as we mentioned. And we see an important thing here. This is something that someone was born with. Nothing to do with his chusim. But we know that the bottom line is everything has to do with your tzchusim, with what you put in to whatever it might be. This is something that we see by the Mishnah and others. There's a keser of kahuna, keser of malchus, keser of Torah, but the keser of shem tov ola al rabbein. The Kesef, Kahuna, Malchus, you're born with that. It's not in your control. But what you do with it, what you do with what you're born with, is up to you. That's the biggest yichus, the yichus atzmi. What you accomplish with what you have. And for that, you don't have to be a Kohen or a melech. You just have to be the best you can be to do what Hashem wants. And that's above all. That's the Keser Shem Tov. The Shem Tov of a Tzadik Gomor, a Tzadik that fulfills the will of Hashem. In this world, Hashem may have the general, the sergeant, the private. But even the private, the most lowly, so to speak, one, in Olam Emet, can be equal to the biggest general, equal to the greatest, as long as he fulfilled his mission, what he had to do and were capable of doing to the best of his ability. So should it be with all of us. Tamit Yata V'Yad Olam, to fulfill the best of our ability to Ratzon Hashem.